This is the second last chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And here in this chapter, Paul teaches us the importance of the resurrection of Christ and also the subsequent certainty of the believer's resurrection, that we who are in the Lord Jesus, you have this assurance, just as Christ rose from the dead, and those in Christ will also be raised up on the final day. However, our attention this afternoon is on this subject of the grace of God, or divine grace. Verse 10 reads, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." This is Paul's confession, which is certainly most suitable not only for Paul himself, but for all the Christians, all the saints of God in the past. And it is also most appropriate, equally appropriate, for those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have known and proved the grace of God working in our lives. We must consider Paul, according to his own account of himself, as he confessed that he was not meet to be called an apostle. Why? Because he had persecuted the church of God. He went round before he knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior, as his Lord. He was so religiously zealous, thinking that he do God a great favor to go round persecuting and arresting with the authority given to him from the high priest to persecute the people of God, to persecute the Christian at that time. And so concerning personal merit, Paul knew that he did not deserve to be accounted of at all. Yet, when the only ground of approval, when the only ground of approval was not the service he had rendered to his God, to his sovereign, but instead the favor which God had bestowed upon him, so he could say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Beloved brethren, let this be your comfort. Let this be my comfort. Let this be the comfort of every true Christian believer, that the same grace that made Paul the persecutor of the church of Christ has made Paul a Christian, has made Paul a proclaimer of the gospel. That self-same power that has quickened the mightiest man in the army of the Lord has also quickened you also who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that saved the greatest saves also the least. Those of us who are in union with Christ can truly say with the Apostle Paul, "By the grace of God, we are what we are. I am what I am." I shall consider with you three aspects of divine grace. Three aspects of divine grace. And the first aspect is to consider divine grace doctrinally. The first head is divine grace doctrinally. Each one of us who is a believer in the Lord Jesus can take this statement as his or her creed and say with the apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What this statement means is firstly this: I am not what I am as the result of something good which God foresaw would be in me. I repeat, this statement means, firstly, I am not what I am as the result of something good which God foresaw would be in me. God has not conferred his love, his favor, his mercy to me because he foresaw that I should repent of my sin and trust in his beloved Son. No, that's not the condition. There is a deeper cause of God's love than anything that could be found in me, an undeserving, unworthy sinner. Indeed, there is nothing at all that could be found in me that is lovely in God's sight. But it would be proof immediately that he had freely given that lovely thing to me, or himself created that within my heart. I am a child of God, an heir of heaven. The wellspring of God's love to me is in his sovereign grace. Nothing in my disposition or character could move God's heart to me. Nothing at all. Remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, filthy rags. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before the Lord. It is of his own deep love, and it must have flowed towards me in his own divine channel, simply because God in his sovereignty would have it so. By the grace of God, I am elected unto eternal life. Next, the text also means this: I am not what I am as the result of any strength or any means of my own. Again, I repeat, I am not what I am as the result of any strength or any means of my own. I am not what I am because I choose to be what I am. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. The natural fallen men and women, boys and girls, in our natural fallen state, we will never, never be able to choose God. If I have been what I choose to be, I would still be dead in sin and in trespasses and sin. If I have followed my weak, blind, free will, it would have been to this day leading me to eternal hell. If I have made it my guide, I should have wandered further and further away from God, further and further away from the Lord Jesus. If there is anything good in us, brethren, we must confess God himself put it there. He taught us, the Christians, to pray. He made us to feel the need of his grace. He stripped us of our boastful pride. He delivered us from our ditch of lies. He leveled us. He leveled the legality of our hearts by bringing us very low. With hard work, exhausting all our strength, driving us to our wit's end. God opened our blind eyes to see the beauty of Christ. He gives us the first glimmer of faith. He enabled us to see our sin were washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. And He has kept us alive unto this day and has promised, and He will continue to keep that promise, never to let us go, never to forsake us. We will maintain, you and I who are in Christ, we will maintain that the saints are what they are. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we are what we are by the grace of God and not by our own free will. And moreover, by the grace of God, we not only are what we are, but notice also that we remain what we are by the grace of God. The perseverance of the saints. Not of our own doing, but again by the grace of God. Left to ourselves, we should long ago have ruined ourselves and damned ourselves. If Christ Jesus had not kept us by His almighty grace, we would have been long gone in the lake of fire. There has not been. If you consider it very carefully and think about it, of the grace of God upon us, there has not been 1 hour in our whole Christian experience in which we have preserved ourselves. We have no strength, unable to preserve ourselves. We dare not look back to any stage in our life's history and say, like proud Nebuchadnezzar, by the might of my power I am what I am. Oh, let us not follow this proud man, but let us rather say, by the grace of God, I am preserved to this day. Not only am I debtor to grace once for all, but each day of your life, each day of my life adds to the debt. And each hour, the bulk of our obligation grows, increase. I must still say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. For some of you, you say this 20 years ago, but you can now say even with greater emphasis. And when you get gray-headed with all your white hairs, and as you totter down to the final point or the final step of your life journey here on this earth, you will not be able to say, by my own goodness, I am what I am. Even there, at the last breath of your life, you must give all glory to God, of the God of grace, which, having been the Alpha, will also be the Omega, which have been the beginning, will also be the end. So very briefly, doctrinally, I have stated the truth of my text, that by God's grace I am what I am. I am elect. My election is of grace. I am redeemed. Redemption is a masterpiece of God's grace. I am called by the grace of God. I am preserved by grace. And whatever that is in me that is commendable and virtuous, whatever that is in me which the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, can admire or is pleased with, and which gives to my own soul real comfort, must be all grace and of grace alone. I have spoken so much, I hope you notice, in the first person, because the text is in the first person. Will every one of you, and can every one of you also speak in the first person and say in your own heart, by the grace of God, I am what I am? Can you say that? I hope you can. We shall now proceed to the second aspect, to consider divine grace experimentally. Divine grace experimentally. And by this, I mean this, that there are times in your life, in my life, as Christian believers, that divine grace is not only taught to us as a scriptural doctrine, but it proves to us by our own personal experience. Let me just bring up a few instances. First is this. Have you ever had times when you are made to feel the great depravity of your sinful heart? Have you experienced that? That suddenly, somehow, at one moment, on a certain day, for reasons which you cannot quite understand, you suddenly, this thing surfaced in your mind of your pride, of your slothfulness, and of the various forms of sins that you have committed in the past, which you thought is all forgotten, is all dead, but now suddenly you discover that it is still hidden in some corner in the recesses of your heart. Have you ever had that feeling? The filthy rags, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, unrolled before your eyes, in your mind. Have you ever been fully conscious of that stench, of that wickedness, of that evil arising out of your own Adam nature? Have you ever been made to see the blackness of your own sin side by side with the brightness of divine favor? Have you ever been made to taste the exceeding bitterness of your sin even as you partake the Lord's Supper, even as you were at the communion table, and you just feel this sinfulness coming up in your heart, even while you realize the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanses you from all sin and renew your former fellowship with him. But at that moment, as you sit down in quietness, trying to meditate and reflect on the mercy of God at the time of the Lord's Supper, and suddenly this comes in, and you feel so wretched. So, if that is your experience, or has been your experience in the past, then I know that this text has been true to you, as it has also been true to me, and that you have said, as I have often been compelled also to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You have examined your own heart. You have searched your own heart in the light of Scripture. You have sought the Holy Spirit's help to reveal to you or to convict you of your sin, and you have found nothing good in yourself, in your heart. And so you say that this is the result of the grace of God working in your heart. This mighty, miraculous experience could only have been wrought also by the grace of God. And then there are other occasions, I'm sure perhaps you have experienced, other occasions on which you and I have been forced to cry out, by the grace of God, I am what I am. In what occasion? Namely, after we have faced or to deal with or come under a spiritual attack of some strong and terrible temptation. Have you ever known what it is to feel some old sinful lust in your heart, which you thought, again, is all dead, is all forgotten? Then suddenly it came upon you like a whirlwind of power and drives you so powerfully that you have no strength to resist it. Then, at that very moment, suddenly, as it were, you realize that the Lord in His mercy had kept you, kept His restraining hand on you, not allowing or not permitting you to step further into that temptation and to bring misery and sorrow to yourself and shame the name of Christ. You have been kept from yielding to that dreadful temptation. So it is when we are often compelled in such situation, when we face very great temptation, that we are compelled, as we look back upon many marvelous providences and divine intervention, and we say, truly, by the grace of God, we are what we are, and by that grace alone, we have been preserved from falling into sin. Just one more instance. What occasion? It is occasion like this. Times of great mercy often work or operate among some of us so as to humble us. Times of great mercy work in such a way so as to humble us and to make us feel, by the grace of God, we are what we are. One classic example is Simon Peter. Simon Peter had this experience. If you recall, when he went out fishing, his boat was full of fish, and so it began to sink. And what happened? That whole experience that Peter had, when that happened, he fell on his knees before his master, the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Luke 5 verse 8. You see, the greatness of God's mercy to Peter convinced him of his own unworthiness, convinced him of his own depravity, that he realized right now He is in the presence of a thrice holy God. And it has been the same experience for some of us, the Christians. The more the glory of God's grace has been revealed to our souls, to our hearts, the more of God's grace is bestowed upon us or conferred upon us, the humbler we will be. That will make us to lie at Jesus' feet. God sometimes has to use such things. Sometimes has to overwhelm his children with mercy, quite as completely as he ever does with affliction. So I hope it will be with each one of us that the greatness of God's mercy to us as a church, as a congregation, as a members of the body of Christ, and also as individuals, will lead us to say, by the grace of God, we are what we are. I come to a close now to consider the third aspect, and that is to consider the grace of God practically. To consider the grace of God practically. What is the practical use of this text? By the grace of God, I am what I am. What are the practical lessons? Well, first of all, as I have already reminded you, it is designed to keep you and I humble. Be assured of this. And I'm sure you also have experienced this for those of us who are, or you have been a Christian for a long time. You can be assured of this, that if we do not take this text for our motto every day, if we do not acknowledge that it is of the grace of God that we are what we are, you can be assured that there will be, for the child of God, the rod of covenant or the rod of correction ready for us. God, or rather the Christian who does not consider the grace of God, will soon be in a storm. Those who do not see God's grace in the sunshine. When you do not see the grace of God in your times of joy and gladness, in your time of harvest, then you will soon face a storm. If God's mercy surrounds us and our daily life is one of happiness, but we begin to ascribe our greatness and our smartness to ourselves, you can be assured that it will not be long before God will bring us down, before God will humble us so that we will acknowledge and say, by the grace of God, I am preserved. Whenever you are full of yourselves, full of pride, full of self-righteousness, it will not be long before you learn your own emptiness. For he who begins to grow rich in himself or herself is next door to poverty. Take note of this, brethren. While as believers, we stick to this motto as our hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, everlasting motto. If we do that, we shall not go astray, nor shall we experience those terrible downfalling, which are the inevitable result of our pride, of our upflying in our self-confidence. So therefore, brethren, let us from this day learn humility. Let us plead that the Holy Spirit will work this in our hearts, will help us to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance, rather humility. Let us, by the help of the Holy Spirit, bury our pride in the dust and say, why should we be proud? By the grace of God, we are what we are. One more lesson. If we are what we are by the grace of God, the practical lesson is this. It teaches us greater thankfulness. It teaches us greater thankfulness. You who are children of the heavenly King, never, never forget to praise your God. Never forget to give thanks each day, each moment of your life. Brethren, if you and I were to sing heartily as we ought to sing, what a joyful song of praise and thanksgiving that would be. Let us remember each day, and I said this before, and the younger one, perhaps you may have not learned this, but soon you will learn as you grow old, as you get weaker, as your body, in fact your whole body, every faculty starts to degenerate, no strength, eyesight failing, hearing failing, your taste bud is also failing, then you will realize greater, in a greater degree, of the grace of God in your life. Let those of us who are in Christ sing with all our might to the praise of that everlasting love which inscribed your name, my name, in the Lamb's Book of Life. That great love of Christ which bought us with His precious blood. And that omnipotent love which attended to us all our journey through and landed us finally in the celestial city. May we, brethren, say with certainty from our heart, by the grace of God, I am what I am. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, we must confess that we are a forgetful people. And oftentimes, we allow our pride to blind us, that we fail to see each day of our life is by Thy mercy. It is by Thy grace that we are able to get up and begin a new day. It is by Thy grace that we have the breath in our nostril. It is by Thy grace that we are preserved. O Father, indeed, forgive us such a forgetful people, and we have often taken Your grace for granted. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord, by Thy shed blood. Sanctify us anew, and help us in this new week, that we may walk humbly before thee and before man, in your path of holiness and righteousness, in your way of truth and light, that we may walk therein in humility and in the fear of the Lord. Help us, we pray. Grant us your wisdom, your grace, and the help of the Holy Spirit in this new week. In Jesus' name, Amen.